Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. I am so glad to have you all here tonight for another episode of All About Service Talks. Tonight's episode, we will be talking to Miss Karen Andrews, and she is a professional dog groomer, and she will be giving us all kind of good information that we could use in terms of grooming our dogs and making our dogs presentable for public access. And we might get her to give us some cost-saving ways that we can handle grooming and maybe some tips and tricks that we can do at home on our own. And in turn, maybe some of us who are local may call her in to do a little work for us. So, Karen, glad to have you on tonight. Give us an introduction of yourself and a hello, how you doing, and we'll get started.
Thank you, Doc. I'm Karen Andrews. I own Augie Doggie Mobile Pet Styling. We are based out of Jacksonville and St. Augustine. We work the South Duval and all of St. Johns County area. I have been grooming for 25 years, and I have been a mobile groomer in the area for going into my 7th year. And I'm happy to be on the show tonight.
All right, great. Most of our listeners either have a service dog or run a service dog organization or train service dogs. And I thought it would be great to bring in a groomer because, as the law states, we can't take our dogs out in public if they're not well-groomed and presentable. So, Karen, I'm going to turn the floor over to you for a minute and let you give us some pointers on what we might need to pay attention to in terms of grooming our dogs, and then we'll talk a little more about your business specifically.
Okay. The biggest thing to remember at all times is all dogs, no matter if they are a short-haired chihuahua to a big, fluffy golden doodle, all dogs need some form of grooming. They need their teeth checked. They need their ears cleaned. They need their nails trimmed. You have dogs that require haircuts, such as your service Australian Shepherds, your doodles, poodles, Border Collie, pretty much any animal that you want to use as a service dog needs to be presentable, just as you said. You don't want to take a matted mess out in the public and go, oh, hey, this is my service dog. You want to present a nice visual. If you want to do it at home, the best thing to do, brush your dog. If you have a short-coated dog that sheds, one of the best tools you can have in your arsenal is a shedding rake. Very similar, it's basically the same thing as what you use on a horse. They're oblong with teeth on one side. De-shed your dog. Brush your dog. It also makes for wonderful bonding time with your pet. For your longer-haired dogs, such as your doodles, poodles, border collies, Australian shepherds, golden retrievers, all of those need once a day at least brushing to maintain that coat. Start from the back, and brush your way forward. A lot of owners make the mistake of only brushing the top coat. These are double-coated dogs. Not your Labradoodles and Poodles, but your Goldens, Aussies, and Border Collies are. You want to get all the way down, and the best brush to use for that is a slicker brush. And once again, it is a wonderful bonding experience for you and your pet. And please keep your eye on the nails. The nails are very important. If they're too long, they can cause foot problems. They can't walk correctly. If you are unsure of cutting your nails yourself, because it is kind of scary, then take them to a groomer or have your vet take care of it. It's kind of hard. Nails are hard. So seriously, if you're concerned about it, just let your vet or your professional groomer take care of it. Professional groomers are a valuable asset. You can take your dog in to a shop. Some shops will let you wait on your dog. Some would prefer that you didn't. A mobile groomer can come to your home, do everything, bathe your dog, dry your dog, take care of nails, check the ears to make sure there aren't any signs of infection, to which they would then refer you, of course, to your veterinarian for the proper care. They look at the teeth, trim the pads, and of course, if your doodle, poodle, and so on needs grooming, they can of course handle that right there in your driveway. That way there's no separation from you and your pet. You're in your house, your pet is in the driveway being professionally polished. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, you gave us a good bit there, and I've got a whole bunch of follow-up for you. And I'll just do them one at a time, that way I can feel like I'm involved. All right. Say real slowly the name of your business.
Augie Doggy Mobile Pet Grooming.
Mobile Pet Grooming.
Hmm?
All right. That implies that you do more than dogs.
We do. We also provide cat grooming as well. Cats actually require a lot of grooming themselves. Most people think they don't, but they really do. Cats aren't exactly easy to groom, but we do enjoy grooming our feline friends as well. We provide several different services for cats. We do nail trims. They need their nail trims. They need their ears cleaned. They need their teeth checked. They need a good de-shedding treatment. I mean, if you think about it, the only cat that doesn't shed is the naked sphinx. Every other cat on the planet sheds, I believe. Persians, Himalayans, your long-haired cat, they have a lot more grooming requirements than just your regular short-haired cat. But we enjoy all of them.
Okay, that's good, because a lot of people who have service dogs also have cats in the home, so it's good if they can get one person to do it all. Now, what does a service dog handler need to know in terms of training their dog to accept grooming from a groomer?
Well, that comes into the trust issue about what I call the trust trifecta. The owner, the dog, and the groomer do need to form a bond of trust between the three of them. I understand service dogs are extremely special. They are wonderful dogs, but they're also very well-trained dogs. They're therefore, of course, they know their basic commands. Sit, stay, down, which is really mostly what groomers use. I don't think, personally, I have ever had an issue with a service dog in my care that I have groomed. They have all been very easy. They didn't show any separation anxiety. They were all well-behaved and just all-around wonderful dogs to work with because they are, of course, so very well-trained.
Now, I have heard several, especially owner-trained service dog handlers, to be really proud about their dog doesn't take commands from anybody but them. What can you say to those people to make your job as a groomer easier?
Wouldn't that kind of be true of all dogs if you think about it?
Well, no, because one of the skills that I test for is the fact that a dog can be left with a stranger while the owner goes out of sight. That is one of the AKC skills for a canine good citizen.
Okay. What I mean by this is even... every day we deal with dogs who are only used to being with their owner and interacting with their owner and listening to their owner's commands. So every day I'm kind of working with a dog on a similar scale. Of course, nothing like what are trained for and expected to achieve. That in itself is amazing. I have yet to have run across anybody who said, well, I trained my dog myself, they don't listen to anybody else. I've handled Rotties, I've handled Dobies, German Shepherds, everything, and have never had an issue with a dog behaving well.
Okay, so the answer to my question would be, that's a non-issue, so I don't have anything to say about that.
Well, I've just never run across that. But that is a very good question that you asked. I've really never thought of it. That would be a good one to give some thought on. But like I said, by the same token, it is kind of something that we deal with every day. And I'm going and taking this dog from its owner, and it's expected to obey my commands when it's only used to obeying its owner.
Okay. Now, well, protection dogs, those are another set of dogs that are generally kept secluded from anybody but their owner, their handlers. And so, you know, they're not readily used to, you know, sitting when someone besides their owner says sit, or, you know, taking a treat from someone who's not their owner. And so is there something that you could share with a service dog handler that can make your job easier as far as commands are concerned?
Yes, there is. There are several ways to work with this. One, you can, as the owner, under special circumstances, be with your dog at all times during the groom. That is one way. And then the dog learns to trust the groomer. I'm here with you. My owner is fine with you. We're working well together. Protection dogs, same thing. I've done canines. One of the best dogs I have ever groomed in my entire career was a retired police dog. He was wonderful. He was an adoption. I'm not sure how this couple ended up with him. He's a big German Shepherd. And she was actually a little frightened for my husband and I to groom this dog. And we said, well, we'll give him a try, see how he does. And he was the best dog. He really was. But I do recommend that any owner that is concerned about any situation like that to work with your groomer, whether it is to be present with the dog at all times or perhaps have your groomer come into your home specifically to interact with the dog.
Okay, great. That's what I was kind of looking for and kind of information that people need to hear, because it could be a drawback and a reason why some people may not seek out a professional groomer is because they don't feel like their dog would be okay without them. Now, go ahead.
You bring up a very good point in a case that just happened at a corporate store. I am not sure which corporate store, and I am not sure of the location. But a service dog was brought in, and the owner wanted to be with the dog, and corporate said no. Well, there's a reason for that. Employees only area is employees only area. And there's a liability issue, of course, that, you know, every business owner, whether they corporate or a tiny little van like me, you know, kind of needs to look out for. But the lady was understandably upset. She was denied access to her dog, to be with her dog during the bathing process and the drying process. In a private shop, the service dog owner would probably be able to stay with their dog. I can't speak for all shops, of course. I know in my shop that I owned in Georgia, it was allowed. I would not have an issue with it in my mobile if they really, really felt concerned about their dog and about how their dog would act. So I highly recommend interviewing the groomer before you hire them.
Okay, you just gave me a good segue into what was one of my next questions. How a person go about selecting a groomer, knowing what is a good groomer, what should they look for, and what should be some red flags to them that this person may not be a good groomer for them?
Well, you just opened up a can of worms. But
that's what I'm here for.
Okay. Overall, if you find a groomer that you're interested in, your first choice needs to be, do I want a groomer to come to me for say, mobile or house call? House call is where the groomer comes into your home and grooms your dog for you. Mobile, we do it in our self-contained vans or trailers. Shops, of course, you take your dog there. If you find a groomer that piques your interest, be it any of the above three, Google their business name, look for reviews on them, call them, interview them. Stop by the shop, just randomly drop in. As a groomer's working on the dogs with patience and care, or are they hurried and rushed? Are they yelling at each other? Is the vibe in the room not quite right? As far as your mobile groomers, check their Facebook pages, reviews. Call them, interview them. When they get there, if you do decide to make an appointment with them, spend some time with them talking to them. Ask to see their rig. Now, sometimes my rig gets a little rough because it's been a long day and there may still be some hair floating around. But other than that, is it clean? Does it smell? Do you feel like it's a suitable environment? for your pet to be in. Most people who have bad experiences with groomers will review them somewhere, somehow, and you can find it. Google the groomer.
Okay, now with groomers, is there a standard of certification that a potential customer should look for, or is there no real standard certification, but, you know, the standards that the individual groomer has for themselves?
That is an excellent question due to the fact there is no licensing of groomers anywhere in the 50 states. Nowhere. Anybody can pick up a set of clippers and hang a shingle and call themselves a groomer. That's why I'm saying please research your groomer carefully. Ask them what their experience is. There are certifying bodies, such as the National Dog Groomers Association, the International Pet Groomers Association, the Master Feline Groomers Association, and a couple of more I can't remember off the top of my head. But all they do, really, it's a great thing to certify through one of these certifying organizations. They're wonderful organizations. But they don't really teach anything. You have to already know what you're doing in order to certify through them. So that is a good thing. All of us groomers are coming together and working right now on licensing and regulations of groomers in our various states. We feel it is a definite, definite need. Pets are family. They should be handled and cared for by the law as such. You have to have a license to be a cosmetologist. Albeit, groomers are not working with chemicals, like a cosmetologist. However, it is still the same thing. We're still cutting hair. We're still using sharp tools, clippers, scissors, blades, dematting tools, dangerous equipment. I think all of them should be licensed and regulated before they are allowed to put a set of clippers to a dog.
Well, I'm sure that position right there gets pushback from some folks in your field. I know some folks are real big on self-regulation and real big on small government and no need for government to regulate if you regulate yourself well. But there does come a time and place, and the reason why I asked my first question was, you got to have some kind of insight on how to pick this groomer over that groomer, and, you know, how to stay away from maybe a butcher. And that's why I ask you, you know, what are some pointers on how to pick a good groomer? Let me ask it like this. Say I live down there in St. Augustine, and I have a service dog that I also show. And I've got a show coming up, and this is the one show that's going to get my dog its champion. And so I need to make sure that this dog is right. And my previous groomer just moved out of town. So I have to have a new groomer. Somebody told me about you. Now sell me on you as opposed to some other person that I might find out of the Yellow Pages or by Googling dog groomers in St. Augustine.
Okay. Most likely, I am not. I have never groomed a show dog, to be honest. I can do breed standard trims. I have never personally groomed a dog that has set foot in a show ring. So what I personally would do for you, I would find you one. If you called me and said, hey, Karen, my dog has a show. He's a golden retriever. I'm going to find you the best golden retriever groomer, show groomer, in the area that I can find for you. But I personally probably wouldn't do it just due to the fact that I have never done a show dog. I wouldn't want to mess you up.
Okay, and that's respectable. Now, how would you go about finding me that person that you're going to refer me to?
Social media is a wonderful thing. I am in several Facebook groups that are nothing but groomers. I am friends with over 11,000 groomers, whether they're mobile, house call, shop, groomers, groomer handlers, or the show dogs. Any kind of groomer I can locate, I can find, and I would know their reputation. I would know who to stay away from, and I would know who to refer you to. Social media is a wonderful thing. You can find out a lot on there. That's another thing, too, about finding a good groomer for your needs. Watch your social media. And you brought up St. Augustine. On Facebook, there's a Facebook group called Business Rants and Raves St. Augustine. And it's a great group. And they will rant or they will rave about local groomers. So keep your eye on your local pages. You can learn a lot.
Okay, so you're directing me back saying, hey, if you're looking for a good groomer, a good way to find out about this groomer is to check out what social media is saying on this groomer. And you as a professional, you do the same thing when looking to refer through social media. Okay. What benefit would looking at pictures and the portfolio do in looking for a groomer?
The benefit of looking at the portfolio does showcase a groomer's skills. Anybody, I hope anybody, could tell a good groom from a bad groom. They're pretty obvious. The portfolio is very, very important. When I get a lot of people call and they ask me if they've never seen my website or they've never seen my Facebook page, well, what do you do? What does your work look like? I will direct, are you on Facebook? Yes. Okay, my business page is Augie Doggie Mobile Pet Grooming. Go check out my pictures. No, I do not have Facebook. Okay, then please, by all means, go to my website, Augie Doggie Mobile. I post pictures of everything, even my little air dogs. So it is a good way to tell if the groomer has a good eye for detail, if the dog looks balanced in its clip. You can really tell by browsing the portfolio where your groomer's skills are.
All right. When looking at a groomer, should a person be concerned with if the groomer does like the giant dogs or the toy dogs or, you know, that kind of thing? Or is it if you can cut a toy dog, you can cut a large breed dog?
in a long-standing career, you've groomed pretty much every single breed possible with the exception of a few. Most people who limit the dog size, like you have some groomers who only do, say, 35 pounds and under, it's not a skill thing. It's actually a health or physical ability thing. They don't want to have to lift the big dogs anymore or anything like that. But overall, no, any good groomer can do all breeds of dogs and should be able to do all breeds of dogs.
Okay. And with that being said, should any groomer that is acceptable be knowledgeable in the long hair, the devil coat, and the short haired dog?
Definitely. You have to know your coat differences in order to groom them properly. Your double coated dogs, like your Goldens, German Shepherds, things like that, Border Collies, Aussies, they require special brushing requirements, special undercoat removal, things like that. Any groomer worth their salt knows the differences in their coat condition, coat texture, shampoo requirements, drying requirements, because the worst thing you can do is to misdry a double-coated breed. You can tangle up that undercoat like you wouldn't believe. So, yes, they definitely need to know the difference.
Okay. Now, I don't want to give a bias to folks with long-term experience. Generally, the more experience you have, the better you're going to be. I accept that. But there are some people who, you know, maybe they're younger people, so, you know, they don't have as much experience, but they do have a skill level and they do have an education. Maybe they went to school for it. How would one that is not a groomer be able to tell, okay, this person here knows what they're talking about. This person can handle my double-coated dog. This person can handle my large breed, long-haired, double-coated dog. How could people know that, you know, build the trust so that they can trust this person with their dog?
Well, now, luckily, there are a lot of grooming schools. We have several in the state of Florida that are extraordinary. Merrifield Academy, I think they're in Fort Lauderdale, they have the best groomers on staff as teachers. We are talking gold medal groom team winners that are teaching the students. So I would ask, where did you go to school? Or where did you graduate from? Petco and PetSmart, they also have what they call academy, and they put their groomers through a fairly rigorous training. They have to have X amount of training hours in before they're allowed to work on client dogs. So really, anyone with a school base or an academy base would very well know how to handle, groom, and please the owner of a double-coated breed.
Would this also be true for the internet-based schools?
Like to speak badly of anything, but I personally don't see how watching a video can teach you how to groom a dog without actually putting your hands on a dog. I haven't ever explored that, but to me, it would be like watching YouTube to learn how to groom a dog, or I don't know. That would be something I would just have to look into a little further. I haven't ever met anyone who was trained that way or have seen their skill set, Doc. So that was a little iffy for me right now. I really don't have an answer for that. It kind of scares me.
Okay, so I had asked earlier some red flags that somebody might look at, and from what I understand from what I'm hearing from you, one red flag might be their education, where they got it from, or the lack of their formal education. Now, that doesn't mean if a person doesn't have a formal education, they are not a good groomer, because they might have learned hands-on from, you know, a long time back. So,
exactly. You are exactly that. I know older groomers who have never been to school a day in their life, but they continue with continuing education, study, what have you. They, you know, are keeping up with their skill levels by learning new techniques and things like that, but they never went to school, but they've been in the business for a very long time. My best friend is also a groomer, and honestly, I can't remember if she went to school or not. We've been friends for so long. But she's been grooming for 30 years. And she's one of the best groomers I've ever seen in my life. So experience does speak, education does speak, and all together, you can find, for you and your service dog, a wonderful groomer. Whether it is someone who has just been here for a long time or who attended school and keeps up with their continuing education.
Okay. Let me throw another question at you.
Sure.
Now, if I am cheap and I don't want to take my dog to the vet and I don't want to spend the money at the groomer, and I'm going to cut the dog's nails myself because I cut my nails so I can cut a dog's nails. Tell me some things I need to be concerned about when cutting a dog's nails.
Well, never, ever cut past the curve. Ever. Right there, the nail comes down and it's got a natural curve to it. Most likely, that's where your click's going to be. Just tip it. If nothing else, just at least take off the tip. Another thing you can watch out for are black nails. If you're cutting black nails and you do it tiny bit by tiny bit, there's a black spot that will appear in the nail. You're getting close to the click when you start seeing that little black spot. Watch out for your black spot. White nails, they're pretty easy. Don't cut up to the pink. Leave a little. And another thing you can do is file them. If your dog is tolerant, which most service dogs are very tolerant, you can take a good rough nail file and file those nails back versus cutting them. Don't go side to side. Go front to back.
Okay, now, should it be like in the old school commercials where you soak the nails in palm olive before you do anything with them, or do you just do it just regular dry, clip the nail?
No, Madge, you're not going to soak them in palm olive. Just cut them dry.
Okay. That good question's out of the way. I know I ask really good questions. What can I say?
Yes, you do. You ask wonderful questions. I hope I've been helpful.
Well, we'll find out when we get the comments down below. I'm sure you have. Now, certain dogs, I believe a lot of the times it's because of some of the things we feed them. But that's a different story. But certain dogs have that dog smell, if you will. And it's kind of an off-putting, nasty smell. Can
you're right
you
about
talk
that.
A little bit about the dog smell and how to combat it?
I am afraid I'm in the same camp as you as far as food goes. I believe good quality food plays a very important role in a dog's health, just like ours do. You don't feed your kids McDonald's every day.
Well, some people do.
Well, okay then. But you shouldn't be feeding your dog Dollar General food either, okay? I am a firm believer in high-quality food. I have seen great results myself here at the house with a dog and skin issues. But frequent bathing can help combat the smell. One thing you want to make sure you do, if you do bathe your dog that has a tendency to develop doggy odor pretty rapidly, make sure you dry them thoroughly with your hair dryer, at least. Dry them thoroughly, because wet skin, wet dog equals stinky dog. You know, try to dry it. Use a good smelling shampoo. And also to consult with your veterinarian on it. There could be an underlying problem besides that. And with me not being a veterinarian, I'm not even going to bring them up. But a lot of times when you have an issue, such as bad skin, bad ears, it could not only be food. It could be other health issues as well.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Now, we'll say that again, and we'll say it real loud, that you are a groomer. You are not a veterinarian, so your conversation is being based on the fact that you're a groomer. And so
exactly.
None of this should be taken as medical advice. If you have a medical issue, go see a medical professional.
Exactly.
So I've got that disclaimer out the way for you, so you can relax now. Because I'm about to throw this question at you, and I want you to speak to it from a groomer standpoint.
Okay.
You brought up skin issues. Now, I happen to be of the opinion that certain grooming practices can lead to skin issues. Could you talk any about the skin issues and how it relates to grooming, and if a person is going to do their own grooming, what they might want to look for to make sure they're not causing or exacerbating a skin issue?
There are some certain breeds of dogs that technically should not be shaved. But, and that's a big but right here, is you run into, and I'm not talking about service dogs, I'm talking about just double-coated dogs and owners,
mm-hmm.
okay? Shave the dog. I don't want to deal with the hair. Shave it. Shave it short. Okay, I confess, I have tried the talk. Let's get them on a regular de-shedding treatment. It's going to help with the coat. It's going to help the shedding problem to keep it regularly maintained. Nothing to stop shedding 100%. Please, let's try that first. No, I don't want to deal with hair. Shave the dog. Okay, fine. You know, I have to make a living. I have bills to pay. So I will shave dogs. I don't like it. I do try to counsel against it. But a lot of times they don't hear it. They don't have time. They don't care. It's not they don't care about the dog. I mean, what I'm saying is, they want the dog shaved. They're tired of dealing with the hair. So what I always tell them is make sure your dog wears sunscreen. You can buy spray sunscreen that's safe for pets. put sunscreen on your dog if they're going to be outside. That'll keep the dog from sunburning and peeling and, you know, erupting into bumps and things like that. As far as a groomer's perspective, always keep your clippers cool. Don't go too short. You can cause ingrown hairs. That's such an involved debate, actually, in the grooming world now about shaving double-coated dogs or, you know, things along that line. I will pretty much only do it if the owner keeps insisting, even after being educated. I hope that kind of answers your question. I really don't know. That was the only thing that popped into my head when you asked me that question, was the shaving of double-coated breeds.
Well, I tell you, I like to run my guests right into things so they can say things that people have gone tone deaf to me saying them. And, you know, you're a groomer. You make a living doing these things. So I wanted to get your take on it, and I didn't even have to really stir you into that. You did it just all by yourself, which it gives credibility to, you know, me trying to say it. I'm not a groomer. You know, I just have a double-coated breed that I breed and I work with, so I happen to study these kind of things. Now, there are other issues that could be skin issues that could be dealt with grooming, such as overbathing could cause problems with certain dogs. Underbathing could cause problems with certain dogs. Using the wrong kind of detergent, chemical, what have you, could cause problems. Yeah. At the appearance of a skin condition, you know, there's different bathing restrictions that might come about. And so, you know, I just wanted to see where you would take that when I gave it to you.
Right.
And you took it where you took it, which is, I can't say you took it to the wrong place, because that's why I gave it to you, to see where you'd take it.
Right. And as far as, like, overbathing, I have several dogs on my books that are weekly dogs. I bathe them every week, but I also make sure, and it's like you said about shampoos, et cetera, I always make sure I use the highest quality shampoo and conditioners on those coats and treat those coats very well. And their coat, their skin looks great. Then I've got some that no matter what I do, their skin looks horrible. So it's all really, it's more like the dog. Or, once again, something is going on internally. Take the dog to the vet. Also, the shampoo that you use at home, you definitely want to make sure it's pet friendly, pet safe, and always make sure that it is tearless, because I can tell you, Dawn dish soap, which a lot of people use, can cause corneal burns. It's proven. So be careful. Try not to get soap in your dog's eyes or whatever. You know, when you're doing that home bath, try to freshen them up.
Okay, now see, there you go. You're earning all your money that I'm paying you for the show right now.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
The kind of thing I was asking you about certain things that a home person, a do-it-yourselfer, should be careful about, should know about, should have a warning. Because, you know, I don't want to call product names out, but you did, and You know, a lot of people swear by it and preach it and all that good stuff. And it has its benefits for certain things that might have some difficulties on another end. So,
exactly.
You know,
always. Because a lot of people do use Dawn. Use a good conditioner afterwards. It can be a little drying to the hair coat and the skin. Throw a little conditioner on.
There you go. See what you're doing here now. Everybody, I want y'all to pay attention to Karen here. She's trying to make you some money.
Mm-hmm. Trying
you
to.
Use conditioner. Now, she didn't say buy the conditioner for her, so she's not trying to make her own money. She's trying to help you do right. Because if
exactly.
you don't know better, you can't do better. But if you learn better, you got to do better because now you know better. So, Karen, I appreciate that part. And that leads me into my next question. And you could just go ahead and continue to expound with this in mind. Products. In our country, you know, advertising and marketing is really, really big. And people push stuff on you that you really shouldn't use and you really shouldn't need. And they're not doing it for your best interest. They're doing it for the interest of their company, the interest of their bottom line. Can you either recommend some decent products or, you know, caution us about some products in the grooming area for our dogs?
Well, I have been using the same line of shampoos and conditioners for 6 years. Ever since I went mobile and discovered them, I've used the same product line. I use Quadruped. Their website is quadrupedpetcare.com. I use the all-in-one, both shampoo and leave-on conditioner. It's very gentle. It's yucca-based. It whitens, brightens, it kills fleas, and it's tearless. It's safe for use on those little faces and around the eyes. I really like it, but by the same token, you know, I'm going through a lot of it. So as far as, like, store brand products that you could just, like, walk into, like, one of your corporate stores and buy, Tropic Clean has good products. They have really good products on the market. Lambert K. I'm trying to think of some. No, I was going to say Nature Specialties, but I think they're wholesale only. Esprit. And several of these you can order from Pet Edge or Ryan's as well, but not the Quadruped. It only comes straight from its own manufacturer. One thing you want to make sure that any shampoo you choose to use on your pet has the ingredients listed, because a lot of pet shampoo companies are not disclosing ingredients, and that is another big issue in the industry as we speak right now. We want disclosure. We want to know everything that is in every product we are putting on people's pets.
Okay, and a follow-on to that, kind of an aside, can you speak at all to natural products for use in dog grooming?
The Quadruped shampoo I use is pretty natural, but there's always going to be, you know, something in there that's not exactly natural. You have to have lather. I don't think there's anything natural that causes lather, I'm not sure. Natural, organic is all big sellers, you know, the idea, like you were saying, the product promotion thing. Just be aware. Make sure there's an ingredient list. I don't have right in front of me the ingredients that you should watch out for. I wish I did have them, or the ingredients that we find acceptable. I don't have that list in front of me, but just be aware, you know, be a good consumer. Do your research on any products you're going to use on your pet at any time.
There you go. And folks can Google that, just the question, you know, ingredients in grooming products, and, you know, different sites that pop up. And as you say, buyer beware, do your research. Now, what is your position and stance on these dry wipes or wet wipes for use on dogs?
Well, I have never used them, so I really don't have an opinion. I could see where it would maybe be okay for a short-haired dog, you know, like a Chihuahua, or, well, like our pit bull out there out back or something like that. I could see where it might would help with that, but I don't see to what benefit it would be to, say, a double-coated breed, because how would you manage to get down, you know, to the skin? So I would just off the chain, off the top of my head, say, sounds great for your short-haired dogs, not so much for your furry dogs.
Okay. I asked and answered. I am doing my job, you're doing your job, and everything is just real cool and gravy. And as with all things, when you're having fun, time does fly, and I'm looking at my clock, and my clock says we're coming to the time when I need to let you bring in anything that you might have wanted to say to the service dog community in reference to grooming or anything else you find important. And I'm going to give you time to say that. If, you know, I might not have addressed it and might not have asked you and given you the opportunity. So now I'm giving you the opportunity to speak your mind and to say what you wanted to say to make this all worth your time. So do that right now.
I want to reiterate, if you are going to have a relationship with a groomer, make it a good relationship. Do your research, ask around, ask your friends, Google the groomer business name, what have you. Interview your groomer on the phone. If you choose a shop, go visit. If you choose a mobile, you know, introduce yourself to their unit. Be a diligent consumer in all things, especially for your pets. They don't have a voice. We're their voices. Be very, very conscious, providing the best care you can for your pet. Like I said, create a relationship. Most groomers are great. I would say 90% of groomers are wonderful, honest, animal-loving people and will go out of their way to do what is right for the pet. We won't go into the 10%. You can develop that trust triquetra that I call it. That's you, your dog, and your groomer. Be diligent on your products. Research your products. I really am hard on that with all of my clients. Research your products. I do not want to find you using brand X spot-on treatment, and then 2 days later, you know, or whatever, your dog is just a mass of blood on their back because of a horrible reaction. Be very, very diligent in everything you do that concerns your pet. They depend on us.
Well, that definitely sounds like you care about our dogs like we care about our dogs, and that's the kind of groomer we want to with our dogs, is someone who really cares, not just someone who's trying to make a dollar. Now, having said that, would you be willing or available for people to maybe contact you and say, hey, Karen, I heard you on Doc Pencil's All About Service Dog show, and you said you are acquainted with a whole bunch of groomers all over the states. Would you be willing to have people contact you and ask you for a referral to somebody maybe in their local place?
Yes, that would be fine. They can contact me via our website, AugieDoggieMobile.com, or, of course, through Facebook, Augie Doggie Mobile Pet Grooming. They can send me a private message, or they can send me an email to the website, whichever they prefer.
Okay, and I'm going to do this, and you check me out to make sure that I'm doing it right. Augie is A-U-G-G-I-E, Doggie, D-O-G-G-I-E, Mobile, M-O-B-I-L-E, Pet, P-E-T, .com, C-O-M. That's the website, correct?
AugieDoggieMobile.com.
Oh, mobile. And then it's
yeah.
Augie Doggie Mobile
and
Pet Grooming is
yeah,
the Facebook.
Yeah, and on Facebook it's Augie Doggie Mobile Pet Grooming. But that was too long of a website name, so I just did Augie Doggie Mobile for the website.
There you go. So, I served it up there for you, and you slammed it down. And folks who are local to the Duval County, St. John's County, are in your service area, and I'm sure you'd love to get a call from any of them to take care of their dog and cat grooming needs. And for those of the rest of the folks that are out and about around the country, you could be a valuable resource in helping to figure out a decent groomer. And at this point in time, we have no callers to call in with questions or comments, so no need for me to give that announcement. And I have kept you, Karen, over time just a little bit, and I sure appreciate you hanging out with us and giving us your input on the grooming of our service dogs. You've been quite informative, so we appreciate you.
Thank you, Doc. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time here. And any listeners who have any questions whatsoever, whether they're local or long distance, they can contact me through the website or through Facebook, and I will be happy to answer any questions as well.
Well, God bless your little heart. I sure appreciate that. Hang on one second. I may have somebody trying to sneak in a question. I'm not going to give it because she knows she should be calling. And that question was not a question about the show, so fine, that was a different professional question for me. So
that's because you're such a popular guy.
Oh, I wish. But anyway, I'm only popular because of the people I have around me. That's why I keep trying to get good people around me. But we thank you, Karen, and I hope you get tons and tons and tons of business, and you're just way too busy to come on again. But if something of interest should come up and you have something that we need to know, I should hope that you would say, hey, Doc, I got another hour for you if you want it, and I'll be glad to find some time for you. I want to thank my listeners for listening in and for referring our show to others and for referring me to different guests who might be a good guest for the show. We just want to thank everybody. I want to tell you all that I love you. love yourself, love your dog, and keep doing good things. Keep your head up, because it all gets better if we just keep waking up one more day. God bless you, and good night.